is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I'm very pleased to speak of Twitter and Elon Musk and SpaceX and Starlink and all the other enterprises, but most especially the Securities and Exchange Commission with Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution, who arrives back after a momentary holiday to help me understand this amazing assortment of accusations, allegations, and suspicions having to do with the richest man in the solar system, who's about to launch Starship into orbit on his way to Mars, and his tangle over the company Twitter, which is a social media platform, nothing magical about it, commonplace, and the SEC. Richard, welcome, and I read you the headline, as we have, from CNN Business about this tangle. The Securities and Exchange Commission has continued to examine Elon Musk's investment in and $44 billion deal to buy Twitter. A letter sent by the SEC to Musk on June 2nd, revealed now in a regulatory filing, includes questions about the billionaire's use of Twitter to discuss the deal, including his tweets about the deal being paused. The agency previously questioned Musk in an April letter about his apparent delay in disclosing his large ownership stake in Twitter. I won't go on because the tangle only gets worse. How do you measure the general question for those of us who think that when you decide to buy something, you have the authority to say, no, you know, I've changed my mind? Musk made an offer to Twitter. He engaged in finding financing for Twitter. And then on the basis of his determination about the clarity of Twitter's conduct, he's decided not to buy Twitter. And yet, Professor, can he be forced to buy something he no longer regards as adequate, a pig in a poke?
The answer is I don't think he could ever be forced to buy it. He may be asked to pay damages. But let's go back to the beginning. And the only way you can understand what the role of the SEC is to assume that it doesn't exist and just treat this as a complicated transactions between the two parties. And transactions like this are not simple purchases. They have all sorts of collateral terms, including something known as a breakup fee. And what that says is if you don't go forward with this particular deal, then presumptively you're going to have to pay me $1 billion because you've tied up my assets and slowed everything down. The size of this particular penalty is always subject to negotiation, and sometimes it's very high, and if it's very high, it means that you have a really sincere intention of going through with it. When the deal was put forward and they noted that was only basically a 2.5% down payment, you know, $1 billion off of $44 billion and so forth, people said that this is a cheap option and it could easily drop out. This was a warning sign. Well, the argument that he makes is, yeah, I'm dropping out, but I'm not dropping out on a whim. I'm dropping out for cause. If you look at the rest of the things, there are all sorts of covenants in there which indicate that they have to present information so that he knows he's not buying something which is not essentially worth the price that he has to pay. And the issue that we have in this particular case is, what is a Twitter account? And if it's you and me signing up on Twitter, our eyeballs will pass over whatever comes there, and advertisers will pay, you know, maybe a tenth of a penny for every subscriber who can see one of their ads. But if it turns out that Twitter is run by bots, that is, by automatic machines that just crank out large numbers of things to different places, their purchase potential is exactly zero. And so the battle is going to be, what percentage of bots do you have and how does it work? At this point, I'm going to give you my standard injunction. I'm a professor of law. I'm not a professor of facts. That is, I can't tell you what the answer is, but I can tell you the way the argument is going to break. There is in contract law a doctrine which says that all breaches are not created equally. It's called the doctrine of material breach. And material is a fancy word for big, and on the other side, they're minor breaches. So to give you an example why you absolutely have to have this distinction. Suppose I'm about to buy you a manor, and just before we're about to close, I say, you know, the problem is that your doorknob is broken, so you can't deliver me the property that you promised to do. I wanted a good house, and you have this bad doorknob. And the answer is, we'll cure that. And so you take the doorknob and you fix it, or you reduce the purchase price by 0.01% to reflect it. But if, on the other hand, when you're about to buy this house, and you would plan to rip it down, and you now discover, unbeknownst unbeknown to you but known to the seller, that you can't make any renovation of this house because of zoning and landmark laws. That's called a big breach. It's senseless to say we're going to reduce the purchase price by 70% when you don't want the property for 30% anyhow. So in between, there are all these middle cases, and the moment you have a line between big and small, it's a continuum, and they're going to be hard cases. That's the battle. And what the Twitter people have said is, you know, you just got wrong on your accounting. We know what these spots are. We've taken them into account. Here's the survey. And to which our friend Musk comes back and says, you got to present me with information. To which they come back and say, here's some information. To which Mr. Musk is going to come back and say, that's some information, but it's not all the information. I have to have the following documents to do it. And then they may give him that. And he says, this is my interpretation. And they'll say, oh, but that turns out to be wrong. In case you haven't wondered about this, is a rather long and complicated conversation, right? And this is what happens with every major deal. And so in the end, it's just a straight business matter. One side is going to sue the other. Twitter will never get specific performance on this. There's a general rule that you only get specific performance on cases where you're selling land. Even a lease of land with a lot of service obligations, you're not going to get it. It may well be that the breakup fee will be applied to Mr. Musk, at which point he's out $1 billion. So I can't answer this. Now you introduce the SEC. What's it doing? Well, you've got to remember whose SEC this turns out to be, right? This is a very heavily partisan operation run by Gary Gensler, who is a dyed-in-the-wool progressive. And we certainly understand that progressives basically applaud Twitter to the extent that it imposed censorship on all sorts of things that they regard as misinformation. The class of information is probably 90% things that I happen to believe quite passionately. So that this is not some sort of a situation where you're talking about obscenity or fraud or abuse. This is a situation where my views on COVID don't conform with that of the CBC or the World Health Organization. Misinformation, off it goes, and so forth. Well, Musk said the SEC may not be particularly happy about that. So what you're always worried about when they make their investigation is what's the collateral motivation that's behind what's going on in this particular case. And since these deals are so complicated and the SEC rules are very complicated, you get problems. So there are rules which say that you, after you acquire a certain number of shares, you have to make some public disclosure that you have it under the Williams Act or its modern equivalent.
Right, 5% then, you're supposed to disclose, and the allegation is that Musk put together 9% before he disclosed. That's the allegation.
Yeah, and so that's a, okay, so it's a breach. Now, the question you then have to ask, how does that affect the private lawsuit between the two parties? The answer is I don't think it affects it at all. He's acquired that, so he's only buying the rest of the shares. The deal between the two parties is still going to turn on whether the bots are serious or whether they're not in the material breach doctrine. What happens is there's now a regulatory side, and what the regulatory side would be, if they can prove their situation, there may be some kind of remedy that the SEC would have, and that could be a financial penalty of one kind or another. But it would be absolutely comical if the FCC said, look, you purchased 9% instead of 5%, and now we want you to purchase the other 91%. How could they be upset about the fact that he got 9% if they want him to take 100%? So this whole thing has a surreal attitude. Then there is the pause, right? Well, this is a perfectly respectable kind of business.
We have about a minute, Professor. Go ahead.
Yeah. A pause is something you're going to say, and everybody say, well, now you're giving more information to the market, and they can make price adjustments. But the SEC could say that this is a threat of some kind of force, and so this also may be some kind of illegal dealing, which we can stop under the Securities Act, but the theory is yet to be disclosed, because there's nothing as clear as is on the 5%. So this is going to go on for a long time. I think what's really at stake is the following very simple proposition. Musk found that this thing wasn't so great as far as he could tell on the bots. And then when he looked at the rest of the organization, the thought of having to fire 90% of your workforce because they don't agree with your political agenda doesn't make for good business making. So it's a combination of legal cause and second regrets. And whenever you have mixed motive cases, you have to call me back for
Professor
another
Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution. I'm John Batchelor.